Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is the teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars. I'm Atah, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakh Rouhani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
And Dr. Fakh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So, Sayyid Ahmad Khansari, one of the most outstanding contemporary Shiite Maraja and Fuqaha, is the person with whom we are mainly concerned, a person who was known for his righteousness, his level of the knowledge, his simple life, his high spiritual status, we can say, and he produced so many outstanding scholars and ulama for the next generation, Sayyid Ahmad Khansari. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Sayyid Ahmad Khansari.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khansari. Born in 1887, and it's good to know that he lived till 1985, almost 100 years he lived. He had a long life. He experienced different occasions, and his life is full of incidents, scholarly incidents, social, political incidents that inshallah we will deal with in our program. As you mentioned, he is regarded as one of the great ulama who benefited from the great asatid,
yes,
of the Hawza, namely Akhund Khurasani, Sayyid Muhammad Kazim Tabatabai Yazdi, who is the Sahib Urve.
Yes.
Maybe our audience are familiar with the title of Al-Urwatul Wuthqa,
yes,
a very famous Ahkam book. And also he benefited from the presence of Mirza Naini and Agha Ziya-e-Araqi. He is regarded as the latest students of Akhund Khurasani. He lived from among the late,
yes,
circles of his students.
In fact, he benefited from both the generation of Akhund Khurasani and also the students of Akhund Khurasani, like Agha Ziya-e-Araqi,
yeah,
we can say, and Mirza Naini, okay?
Yeah, and it is said that he assumed or attained the status of Marja'iyya after Ayatollah Burujerdi. And also when we look at his biography, something rare, I mean, mm-hmm, in comparison to the lifestyle of the ulama of that time, happened that we see a marja who lives his scholarly life and move to Tehran,
yes,
and take over the masjid, which is located in the bazaar.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So it was out of the request of the merchants of the bazaar of Tehran who went to Ayatollah Burujerdi and asked for a good spiritual imam who can lead, mm-hmm, their salat in the masjid of Bazaar. And Ayatollah Burujerdi asked Sayyid Ahmad Khansari to come and take over the all affairs of that masjid, and he stayed there.
That's
while
right.
He was also marja, he stayed there. Usually at that time, most of the maraja would leave in Qom because of the spiritual atmosphere of Qom. They would prefer to stay in Qom, but we see he had more important concern in his life, and he wouldn't,
that's right,
pay attention to these affairs. Maybe, as you said, he was,
yes,
really down to earth marja, not,
yes,
giving much attention to some customs,
yes,
that are just playing around this lifestyle of the maraja. So he was, as you said, very pious, very, mm-hmm, famous as his piety, simple life.
Yes.
And when we look at his life while he was in Tehran, we can see some sort of opposition against the Shah or Pahlavi government at that time,
okay,
specifically during the White Revolution.
Yes.
and during the events which took place in 5 June in, yes, in the Hauza Elmi of Qom. His opposition against the Shah's government.
We will get to more details about the socio-political life too, but what is outstanding about the life of Sayyid Ahmad Khansari is his stay in Tehran. Dr. Fakhrani, maybe so many of our dear listeners do not know that Tehran was also famous for having outstanding scholars and producing outstanding scholars out of the seminary or seminary-like schools in Tehran, in Hauza of Tehran, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the beginning, it must be indicated that Tehran was famous, for having its own Shia seminary, great Shia seminary, such that, even today, the Tehran School of Shia Studies is very famous because of its trends in fiqh usul as well as in philosophy and Islamic doctrinal topics.
Yes.
Well, since Tehran has been the capital of Iran right from the Qajar period up to now, and at the same time, many efforts used to be done on westernization of Tehran, it was necessary for Tehran to have, a high-ranking Shia dignitary at the level of Marja'iyya. And because of this, we find that many outstanding merchants of Tehran Bazaar requested the late great Ayatollah Burujerdi to introduce to them one of his confident disciples and, people. Then the late great Ayatollah Burujerdi introduced the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khansari.
That's right.
What's known in this regard is that prior to going, before migrating to Tehran, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khansari was one of the important candidates. He was supposed to be one of the successors to Ayatollah Burujerdi in Qom. However, because of his migration to Tehran, and because it was necessary, to supervise the doctrinal and religious atmosphere of Tehran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khansari preferred to stay in Tehran, and his stay in Tehran was also a very important point and important episode in the Tehran Shia Seminary.
That's all right.
He started teaching over there, and in fact he continued some of the lessons that he used to teach in Qom.
Yes.
And some of his Qom students and disciples later on, they also settled in Tehran.
That's right.
And they continued attending his lessons and lectures over there. So you find that,
so usually the people who wanted to be successor to a great Marja'i al-Am must reside in Najaf or Qom.
Yes.
But because Ayatollah Khansari was in Tehran and felt the responsibility of nurturing the religious atmosphere and the schools over there, he in fact, left this position and did not become the Marja'i al-Am. But he was a Marja'i Taqlid, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. Yeah. He was certainly a Marja'i Taqlid.
Okay.
And in this way, one may say that, he sacrificed, his position as a Marja'i Taqlid in Qom or in Najaf and preferred to go to Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't make any difference in his case because of his academic caliber and academic, profundity, that academic and doctrinal profundity, that he remained a Marja'i Taqlid even in Tehran.
That's
and
right.
He proved very much influential in Tehran.
Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, beside all this scholarly life, most of the, contemporary generation of Shiite mystics and Urafa and spiritual trainers consider Sayyid Ahmad Khansari as a person of high spiritual, status, a person who, as according to so many of the scholars say, was on both aspects perfect. The scholarly life, the jurisprudential life, and the mystical life. Can you give us some details about this aspect, the spiritual power and talents of the late Sayyid Ahmad Khansari?
Okay, this is a very good point to mention about his lifestyle. I think we have to talk about this point and elaborate on this point, that when we talk about the spirituality and a spiritual lifestyle of a marja, Most of the audience or people who are listening to our lecture might expect us to say something about the supernaturality or some superhuman power that they had. They did something extraordinary, but this is not in fact the case. As we have a very famous statement from Ayatollah Behjat, maybe I'm not that correct with the wording, but this is the concept that he has mentioned, that or it is mentioned regarding Ayatollah Behjat, that one of the great thing about his spiritual life, that he was a great abd or servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alongside all these supernatural stories that being said here and there. So most of the things that we have to pay attention is their lifestyle and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also for Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khansari, when we are talking about his spiritual lifestyle, we have to consider this point, that this is not a good character to only focus on such aspect of his life, although there are some points which are narrated. For example, that is a very famous story regarding him when he had to undertake a surgery because of the medical conditions and situation that he was suffering from. So doctors and physicians said that for some hours you must go in the state of anesthesia. So
in fact you lose your consciousness to do the surgery.
Yes, you are losing your senses. But because of his opinion in fiqh and sharia, that he was of this opinion that when a marja goes under this state, his follower may lose their connection with the marja and they have to re-intend their marja as their marja for the rest of the life. He said, okay, I don't want to go under this state of anesthesia. But doctor said, how is that possible? We are going to cut your body, do this, do that. He said, okay, don't worry about it. The moment I started reciting the surah An'am, you start your job and don't worry about my feeling. I'm not going to feel anything. It shows the level of his concentration. The moment he wants to do something, he wants to distract himself from all these physical world, he can, and he did it. He start reciting the Surah An'am, and it is narrated not only in his biography. Many ulama are saying this story. It's famous with this great scholar. And he didn't accept to go in the state of anesthesia. And this is also good to know, because nowadays this thing might happen for many of the maraja, since they may go to the doctor, they might have some surgery. It was his exclusive fatwa that the connection of marja and the followers may cut off when the marja goes under this state. The followers and muqalladin. As it is asked from Ayatollah Makarem, how if a marja nowadays goes under this, should we re-intend our intention of following you? He said, no, it is not. As I said, because of the issue of fatwa, some of the maraja might have different fatwas, but it was his exclusive fatwa and he acted upon his fatwa. He kept his relationship and connection to the to the followers.
And it shows his the purity of the soul.
Definitely.
And his sincerity and ikhlas in doing so, you know, how much they were, we can say, careful and attentive to points in their religious and spiritual life. Up to an extent that for doing a surgery, they will not lose this connection between themselves and the muqalladin. That's all right. His most outstanding work is Jam al-Madarik fi Sharh al-Mukhtasar al-Nafi, Dr. Fakhruhani. Just give us a little bit details about this work of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad al-Khansari. What is this for?
Actually, it has been a good practice in Shia seminaries, whether in India, in Pakistan, in Iraq, or in Iran, elsewhere, even in Lebanon, that when a great dignitary publishes a very important book, in fact, I mean, to some degree, a seminal book, some of, other later generation ulama come and explain or elucidate certain aspects of this great book.
Yes.
Likewise, we find that so many books have been written on Kifayat al-Usul al-Akhund Khorasani or Urwat al-Wasqa'i, the late Ayatollah Tabatabai Yazdi. Yes.
Okay.
The same holds true regarding Al-Mukhtasar al-Nafi' of the late Muhaqqiq Hilli. Muhaqqiq Hilli was an outstanding Shia faqih, and he was a nephew of the late Sheikh Tusi.
Yes.
The late great Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khonsari compiled a book, developed a book entitled Jama' al-Madarik, and he devoted it to elucidation of the points and fiqh argumentations of the late Muhaqqiq Hilli.
That's right. Okay.
It must be indicated that, this book took this Ayatollah around 30 years, and it indicates that he was very meticulous in analyzing everything that could be found and could be incorporated in the book.
That's all right.
Please note carefully that at the time when that book was going to be published, written, present-day facilities like, for example, internet services or CD-ROMs or other things were not available. And one had to check all books, page by page, even line by line, in order to come up with the evidence.
That's all right.
Of course, he produced other books, mainly concerned with Shia doctrinal topics or, for example, his own exposition of Al-Urwat al-Wasqa, and also some other books regarding Hajj rituals.
That's all right. Thank you much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani
and
Sheikh Mahdavi, for a nice elaboration regarding the scholarly life and the spiritual life of Sayyid Ahmad Khansari, one of the greatest ulama in contemporary Iran. In the year 1405, according to the lunar Hajj calendar, Sayyid Ahmad al-Khansari passed away in the city of Tehran. His body was taken into the city of Qom and he was buried in Masjid al-Balasar in vicinity of the tomb of Lady Fatima al-Masuma in the holy city of Qom. And Imam Khomeini gave a message of condolence on his demise. They can find it on Sahifat al-Imam, volume 19, page 128. He talks about the great attributes of Sayyid Ahmad al-Khansari, his fruitful life, and what did he did for the houses of the Shiite world. The message of condolences by the late Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Sayyid Ahmad al-Khansari. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. معلم